Just a second. Mitchell, call Giuseppe on Skype when it connects us. Are we already on?
No, not yet.
We're on the air, let me say, as we make our connection. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal right here on Revolution Radio, simulcasting today with the G-Man, Giuseppe Vaffangulo, on Speak Free Radio. Giuseppe and I are doing these simulcasts on a monthly basis. Today was a day, and we're joined by two others. Giuseppe, take it away.
Well, we're joined by the legendary Russ Winter of WinterWatch.net and a young phenom, Zach from Logos Revealed, who's got an excellent body of work. It's growing. He's very prolific at Odyssey, and he's also a regular on Gab as well. So I just saw Mitchell saw my message, so he'll probably be calling me momentarily, and then we can add Speaker Radio and tie the two programs together. There we go.
Okay, now we'll add.
Okay, Jim, I think the echo. Oh, no, it's gone. Okay, good, good, good. All right. Oh, what the heck? Oh, the camera's on. Oh, let's go here. That's why.
Giuseppe, can you hear me okay now?
Yep, you sound great.
But okay. I can't hear.
No, here, I'm about to connect them.
I got up.
Yeah, you should go to the headphones, Jim, I think.
Right. Got it. Actually, there it is. All right.
I see what's going on. Mitchell's taking care of it now or somebody. Okay. All right. Good. All right. Let's see. So we're now also on Speak Free Radio. Welcome, everyone. It's Giuseppe Perfect Triangle. This is the week we're going to simulcast with the brilliant, legendary Jim Fetzer and his show. Is it the Raw Deal or the Real Deal on Revolution Radio, Jim?
It's a Raw Deal, Giuseppe.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Raw Deal. And we're joined, as always, by the equally legendary Russ Winter of WinterWatch.net and the young phenom Zach, my regular co-host from Logos Revealed. And so I guess the first thing we want to talk about, actually, what I need to do is share the sound. And that will here we go. Share screen. And then we want to share. Let's see. This one, share sound, start sharing. Okay, now everybody should hear everybody on both stations, so we're really good to go. So welcome, everybody. And it's always an honor to simulcast with legendary Dr. Jim Fetzer, Russ Winter, WinterWatch.net, Zach from Logos Revealed. Jim, we want to talk a lot about false flags and conspiracies. I'm going to put it up on the screen. The excellent free this year, you can donate, but free virtual event that you like to put once a year right around your birthday. By the way, Jim, happy birthday. You just had a birthday last week.
December 6th. Yeah, thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks, G-Man.
Awesome.
Yeah, appreciate it.
But before we get into that, I mean, I think, Jim, are there any major news events of the day? I mean, this Gaza thing is getting worse and worse, the brutality, the genocidal mass murder. It's just I can't fathom what I'm witnessing, and yet every day it gets worse.
Well, I think the whole world recognizes that Biden has disgraced the United States. This is a stain that is going to endure in the halls of infamy forever. Being on the wrong side, facilitating the slaughter of the Palestinians, promoting genocide unapologetically, given the weapons they need, the bombs and ammunition without which it could not take place. With no apology, G-Man, it's just a disgrace.
100%. Jim, you're probably also connected on Skype. Could you mute your Skype mic on the Skype app? That's why we're hearing that little bit of a slapback.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, just in the Skype. Yeah, I think that will take care of that.
Oh, now we good? Now we good?
Yep.
Wow.
I don't think I'm on Skype. Let me double check me.
No, Bryce, you're just here. You're good. All right. So that's a great point. So, Russ, your thoughts on Gaza, and then we'll get Zach's thoughts after you.
Well, I think that the Palestinians are the point of the spear.
Hey, Jim, that echo's coming from you. Can you go to the headphones or else?
I think I figured it out. Let me see here.
I'll mute you until you get the new settings. Okay, go ahead, Russ.
Yeah, the point of the spear of what is really, they deserve 100% support by, let's call it our movement. There should be no doubt. Is it these?
No, I'm sorry. I was just setting.
Is it these?
This is weird. There should be. Oh, I know what's wrong. Here we go. There we go. Okay. Sorry, Russ. I forgot to turn on StreamYard recording, but I'm turning it on right now. So please continue. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Point of the spear, obviously resisting one of the greatest evils in history. And we can see it every day before our eyes. There should be no, lukewarmness towards the Palestinians. I'm kind of hearing from some folks that, well, certainly we don't support the Israelis, but we could care less about the Palestinians. And I think there's too much of that out there. That has to end, because this is where the fight is happening, and with the Muslim world. And hopefully Hezbollah will get involved. The Houthis are doing a hell of a job, completely disrupting the shipping through the Red Sea. My hat's off to them. The Iranians today, there's kind of an interesting clip where it looked like they ran the aircraft carriers out of the Persian Gulf and harassed them all the way out. So maybe we could start with that. I have a little clip that I put into the...
Sure. Let's...
My larger point is that this is where we need to put a lot of our efforts.
Right there, this one, the video of U.S. crap.
Yeah, and unapologetically, because this is the only hope for the world that these people.
Do you copy over?
Let's start it over. Okay, so you want to set this clip up? So this is a U.S. Ship of some sort.
They're leaving the Persian Gulf, and I got to ask the question, and maybe you guys can chime in. Why is the U.S. leaving the Persian Gulf? Well, probably because they're trying to get out of range or something, maybe something big happening. That's a theory I might offer. Interesting.
Well, let's play the clip, and then we'll get Jim and Zach's theories, and then I'll chime in afterwards.
This is Sepak Navy, Channel 16, over.
This is Coalition Warship 5-8 on Channel 16, over.
5-8, this is Sepak Navy, Captain. I told you to keep your helicopter away from my vessel. Do you copy, over?
Coalition Warship 5-8, myself and aircraft and company are engaged in transit passage in accordance with international law. Over.
5-8, this is Sepak Navy, but your helicopter is flying unprofessional and provocative. You copy, over. Keep your helicopter away from my vessel.
U.S. Warship 5-8, this is Sepak Navy. For your information, I have some speedboat going to you. Advise you to keep your helicopter away from my vessel. Over.
This is Warship 5-8. Understand all. Over.
So the helicopter was buzzing the Iranian ships. They told them back off, and they did a landing.
Yeah.
Tracking the throat and speedboat. The passing through this passage is pretty cool. The Iranian F and I should.
The U.S. is clearing out of there.
That's interesting. Yeah, look, they're definitely heading for the high seas for sure.
They went into the Persian Gulf for some reason, kind of a show of force. The problem is the passageway in and out of the Persian Gulf is very vulnerable, given the Kinzhal missiles and different Russian-made anti-ship missiles that could just obliterate this fleet when they're exposed in this little bathtub in there. So they're trying to hightail it out of there.
Interesting. All right, I think that's good for that clip. Let me shrink it down. And, Jim, your thoughts on what Russ displayed? Oh, let me unmute you, Jim. Go ahead.
This is a sensational development, Giuseppe. I'm very impressed. Now, these carriers are antiquated. In the day of anti-ship missiles, they're just giant targets. The U.S. sent them all off the coast to intimidate Arab nations and Iran from taking any measure in support of the Hamas in Gaza. But I think it's worn thin that we have 2 months of a nonstop slaughter, and it's only getting worse by flooding the tunnels. I think we can expect to see something happening. And while Iran has declared it's not going to engage unless it itself is attacked, I foresee that they're going to have that triggering event in the very near future.
That's a great point. Now, Zach, you're of draft age, which is horrific to think about. And I know recent polls have shown that Gen Z, your generation, 80% would refuse to go and die for the Jews in Israel. But what is your take on all this, Zach? Are you tracking much this genocide of the Palestinians?
Yeah, well, for starters, with the aircraft carrier, I have to kind of concur with Russ. It seems like a very sound theory that they're expecting something bad to happen. But when it comes to Gaza itself and just the entire situation in Palestine, as horrible as it is, I think it's also fair to recognize or important to recognize that this is nothing new with these Israelis, so to speak. It's a terrible name to call these people because I don't believe it should even exist as a nation. But they've been doing this really since their beginning there. So, you know, a great example would be the Deir Yassin massacre.
Right.
They've done many of these things. But in a sense, I think this piece that we have now, this current conflict, is really bringing to the forefront or onto the world stage what these people really are. And it almost seems necessary in order for the public mind to boil over against these people.
But while there have been past events of slaughters committed by the Israelis, they were short term. They were very specific, of limited duration. This is nonstop.
This is
clearly genocide, and it's being broadcast worldwide 24/7. That has never occurred in the past.
It's been broadcast on social media. It's not really being covered by the Western media. That's an important distinction.
Globalist media. That's a great distinction. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
And you got to know where to go. I mean, even our audience, I create the resources. I find, and I have a lot of people I follow on Twitter. I share things of interest I see, but I don't see these being shared. I don't know if it's being disseminated because I'm so, bottled up on Twitter and suppressed.
Yeah, shadow banned.
That it's even the shadow banned that, it's not just me. So to get the word out there, and this is what I'm trying to do on these shows more and more, is just pick up on some interesting aspects of this conflict that need to be known. And I bet most of our audience really hasn't seen this stuff.
Well, you know who's doing a great job of covering it is various channels on Telegram. I've got at least 30 different channels I monitor, and they're on the ground like the mainstream media was in Vietnam in the 70s. I mean, it's sad that you have to go to independent international sources to get the real story, but that's just how the modern world is.
Is it censored and suppressed?
No, Telegram is not. No.
That just goes to show where I'm kind of, lagging and expertise
ahead,
and stuff. It's hard to keep up with.
In South Front and War News 24/7 and Al Jazeera and Press TV and RT are doing a pretty good job of keeping up with these developments.
Right. Without a doubt.
Never before have we seen a genocide unfold before our very eyes. It's having a powerful, profound impact. The status of Israel has been completely decimated. There's no more respect for the nation. They've played their victimhood card too many times. They've lost it, the aura of invulnerability of all-knowing intelligence. they have done more damage to Israel than all the paid-for propaganda could ever have done. And it's all of it is legit and accurate and truthful.
Well, Russ,
it qualifies as real news and not fake.
And self-inflicted on themselves. And so this is a moment of great victory for humanity if we can pull this off.
Well, Russ and Jim and then Zach, get everyone's thoughts. You know what isn't being covered? Hardly at all, even on the independent media. The fact that there's tens of thousands of Israeli Jews every day and night protesting outside of Netanyahu's house saying, you got to go. You're going to get us all killed. And nobody's really covering that yet. It's happening daily. So, Russ, your thoughts on that, and then Jim. And
well, at the same time, the polls show that 60% of these fucking Israelis are calling for escalation of the genocide. Yeah. Not pulling back, not a ceasefire, not taking it down a notch, which is what the United States is advising, but escalating it. So it's a fucked up country. I mean, they have huge chips on their shoulders. Right. They're very, very psychopathic. And since this program tends to be my outlet, and I sometimes maybe tend to try to dominate a little too
much. No worries, Russ. We're all submissive.
But let's watch this clip at the bottom, right before the aircraft carrier.
Okay.
And watch this treatment of this Palestinian journalist. Now, what he's there to cover is the Al-Aqsa Mosque is up the road, and the media is there, the Palestinian media is there to cover whether the soldiers and the police are dissuading Muslims from going to the mosque.
And you can see, for those on the radio, two radio networks, this is a clearly legitimate journalist. He's got his camera, he's got his badge on his neck showing he's got legitimate journalist credentials. And here comes a couple of IDF thugs, and let's see what happened.
Yeah, start from the beginning.
Gets punched in the head by one Jewish shoulder, gets thrown up against a car by another. He clearly banged his head.
Müdahaleler tam olarak böyle oluyor, değerli izleyenler.
Now watch this guy go back. He's going to shoot this guy. He's threatening to shoot him.
They just took him down.
And they're using their weapons. They're using their weapons.
Just kicked him in the head. Kicking him again. Kicking him again.
They're just giving him a beating.
Çok sert müdahaleler var.
Send him to the hospital.
İşte gazeteci, Müslüman, sivil, ayırt etmeksizin.
They're just brutes. They're so good.
Çok sert vurdu.
Halil geri çek. Barbarically subhuman.
I mean,
Halil geri gel. Gel.
These people need to face some karma.
Okay.
Serious karma.
Okay, okay. Şu an silahın tetiğini bile bize doğrultmaya başladı. Şu an sağlıkçılar geldi. Ne yazık ki.
All right. So,
çok
so
üzülerek
it looks
söylüyorum
like
ki. Bir meslektaşımız çok ciddi bir şekilde yaralandı.
The Jewish thugs have walked away. The clip ends. And holy cow, Russ, that was brutal. So why don't we go around and get thoughts. Start with Jim, then Russ, then Zach.
Well, it's incidents like this that have totally impugned the moral standing of Israel. Scott Ritter has been very emphatic. Israel is done. In the international community, done. It sold itself for a mess of bondage. And Bibi Netanyahu, he's done. If he even survives physically, because there's tremendous resentment at the extent which he's with the very existence of Israel at risk. And that is bona fide, that is legitimate. Because if Iran is forced to attack Israel, it will obliterate that little country. Believe me, it has the ability to do so. So Netanyahu is done, but he's doing this with such tenacity because it's all for him. It's all to save himself from the prosecution to which he was going to be subscribed, but also, of course, to effect the final solution, get all the Palestinians out of Palestine, to take the oil and gas reserves, to build the Ben-Gurion Hotel. But by flooding the tunnels, they're contaminating the freshwater wells and may make the entire region uninhabitable for centuries. This is as just repulsive as it gets, Giuseppe.
Oh, my God. Russ, your thoughts then, Zach?
Well, the question also is, to what degree does it drag the United States down the toilet with them?
Yeah.
100%.
They seem to be joined at the hip.
So true.
So unless somehow the United States is able to eradicate themselves from this.
Well, I'd like to see that new Speaker of the House, Johnson, get treated like the Israeli soldiers treated that journalist for being such a traitorous evangelical Zionist Christian and cheering on a week or two ago, cheering on the genocide. Zach, your thoughts?
Again, I have to agree with Russ. He makes a wonderful point that our country is unfortunately so tied to this country, at least the political governing body of our country, right? I mean, we might have the youth is certainly going against Israel for a multitude of reasons. But I mean, just the most recent Republican debate, it was all Israel worship, the whole thing. They spoke literally more about the Israeli people and Israel's state of peace or happiness than they spoke of our own. They seem to care much more about their plight, and that's, you know, for obvious reasons, but it is an important factor in this, how we go down with them.
Yeah, Jim, it's horrible.
Well, just Santo Saley and Christie are mediocrities who have no prospect of any success at this point in time. I do believe the Santos did himself a huge amount of good in his debate with Gruesome Newsom from California because he dismembered Newsom. If anything were to happen to Trump, I have no doubt DeSantis would be escalated to the lead. And since I anticipate the Democrats are going to run with Newsom and probably Michelle on their ticket, Biden is absolutely not going to be running in 2024, no matter what. You may hear from the Democrat Party, they can't even plausibly steal an election with someone as despicable and incompetent. Obviously despicable and incompetent, not to mention corrupt, as Joe Biden. They got to have a fresh face so they can claim, well, people were so tired of Trump and Biden that they were enthusiastic about Newsom. But I think that DeSantis severely complicated that task because Newsom came out looking just like an amateur. This is one respect in which DeSantis has distinguished himself in a very positive way. Ramaswamy, I thought, by far dominated the debate. He made so many telling points. He was talking about unpopular issues like 9/11, false flags, and the like. He's a very interesting guy. I don't know what role he might play in the future, but I think he does have a future.
Interesting. Zach, any thoughts on, from a young man's perspective, about the potential of the election coming next year?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, I don't foresee Biden running, and I thought I heard somebody announce that he wasn't running. So yeah,
not a chance, Zach. No, absolutely running. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what to anticipate for this election. All I know is I feel we were screwed over in the last one and duped in the one prior. So we've got low hopes.
That's a great point.
No, Trump is running or Trump is dead, and they may want to assassinate him. There's a real prospect that could happen. They can't. They've tried character assassination. They've tried impeachment. They've tried all these phony lawsuits. Nothing has worked. Every effort they've made has only increased his popularity. So I'm afraid they may be resorting, and they'll claim it was an Iranian or some disgruntled MAGA guy because he wasn't sufficiently for freedom. I mean, who knows how they can concoct, because they will devise any plot they want. But they are terrified of Trump. In fact, in American history, there's never been a party more intimidated by a candidate of the opposition than what we have today with the Democrats in relation to the Donald.
So what's interesting to me, Russ and Zach and then Jim, is that, you know, Trump continues to supplicate himself to the international Jew, especially the Zionist wing of that. And yet they're vilifying him. They're doing everything to prevent him from being reelected, and yet the guy has shown a self-destructive loyalty to Israel. So what do you make of that, Russ, that he is bending over backward?
That's just That's how Zionist occupied government works. They just play little games like that constantly with these politicians. And there's no alternatives unless somebody emerges. That, you know, after Israel blows themselves up, and we'll have to see how this genocide unfolds. They're going to kill another 50,000, 80,000 more, 150,000, 200,000. I'll get into that a little bit about where all these Palestinians are going, this Mawasi strip. So they start piling up a real heavy count on the genocide. At some point, maybe it'll crack the whole, flip everything over so that these politicians can't even go in public without being assaulted by protesters. And I noticed that the governor of Colorado was holding some pro-Israeli business seminar event in Denver, and he got met with about half a dozen protesters that just completely shut him down. And the only thing the guy can do is just sit up there and smirk. You know, yeah, laugh, sucker.
Yeah, good point.
That's what all these politicians need to face. So the only thing I could see possibly coming out of elections is a big uproar by people like that, the public, you know, smearing blood on the Schwarzman Library. I thought that was a nice touch. So I'm getting pretty radical in my politics. I don't even care to discuss any of these politicians. I just want to disrupt them.
Good for you. Well, let's get Zach's thoughts. Zach, do you think this supplication, this rectum licking to these Jews by the despicable American politicians? I mean, they're the only people who are backing this genocide by Israel are the batshit crazy evangelical Zionist Christians and, you know, Jews, American Jews, and some crazy MAGA-tards who are just think that Israel's the chosen. Again, batshit crazy. So your thoughts, Zach?
Yeah, I unfortunately don't think we have a political solution. I don't think there's enough leeway for these people to actually make any difference. You know, even when Trump was in on his last term, the things he wanted to do, it seems like there was genuine intention there and he wanted a lot of these things done, but there's so much red tape and there's so many Jews surrounding him within the White House, within Congress. It's impossible for him to actually get the things done that he would like to get done. So I don't think kissing their ass helps. And I certainly don't think going fully against them helps unless you do it in the correct manner, which would again then not be a political solution. So, yeah, it's a very tough dynamic. But I'm not for the ass kissing option.
Yeah, good point, Jim. By the way, Mitchell, let me know they're having server issues, so there's not going to be any bottom of the hour break. So we'll just continue on. So, Jim, you've covered Trump a lot the last 4 years or so. What's your take on what he's doing? And he's so far ahead in every Republican poll, it's not even funny. There's nobody even close within 20 points of him, I think. So,
my take is that he's keeping his friends close and his enemies closer. And that while he's done some actions I regard as despicable, especially taking out Soleimani. You may have noticed there was a photograph of Soleimani when we were getting the report about driving the American ships out of the Gulf. And I was a huge admirer of Soleimani. Yeah. That was a really dastardly deed. But you could have no more obvious, powerful evidence that Trump is not actually one of them than by going out of the way with all these fabricated lawsuits, all this massive propaganda. Listen, if Trump is just one of the gang, if he's a crypto Jew, if he's actually an Israeli stooge, then go with the flow.
Wow, what was that?
Why would you not go with Donald Trump, the most popular politician maybe in the history of the United States, if he's actually one of them? I tell you, the massive opposition is because he's not.
Okay, I can buy that. Russ, did you want to go on to another clip now, or do you have any thoughts on what Jim said?
Yeah, I'll just add that if you want to see, if I have an interesting article that I reran on the site, essentially that he is a crypto Jew with a German background. So, I mean, I'm not going to go into it here. So if you want to read the article, it's available on my site, front page.
I don't mean genetically, Russ. I mean politically. I cannot.
No, he's genetically part Jew.
I get it. I've heard all that, Russ. But okay. I'm saying if he's actually for America, he can transcend his Jewish background, not unlike, say, Blinken or Yellen or Mayorkas or you know, all these guys in key positions who put themselves as Jews ahead of being Americans. In my opinion, that is not true of Donald Trump. He is putting America first, and I believe it.
All right. So Russ, you had submitted quite a few clips. Would you like to move on to?
Yeah, let's take a little look at some of the behaviors again of the IDF in Gaza. They're really crazy. I mean, look at that clip here. It's entitled IDF releases this video of soldiers engaging with walls in a school. Now let's just analyze this thing. You yep. see it?
I didn't touch.
We can't see it.
No,
you got to do the screen.
Yeah, I'm set. I'm getting the clip ready and then expanding it. And now here we go. All right. So for the radio listeners on Rev Radio and Speak Free, you've got a first person body cam of an Israeli soldier in a just a decimated, deserted, war ravaged schoolroom. So
it's a school. Yeah, a school. So they're going, this is their excuse for going and shooting up a school with nobody even there.
All right, let's watch it.
Look, I'm just trigger happy. Get some. Like Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, why are they wasting ammunition that there's nobody there?
Well, it's dangerous. Friendly fire.
Right.
Ricochets. Look at that. He's going to hit he almost hits the side of that wall.
So they think that they're acting like someone's there, but there's clearly no return fire. There's nobody there.
I think any guys with that military experience play in. I don't think this is how it works.
You mean you're thinking it's fake?
Well, this could be some fakery going on, or could just be the way they're operating and the way the IDF has admitted to a lot of friendly fire casualties. So it could just be the
so
way
weird,
they're poorly trained.
Observing it,
are we seeing the actual impact of any bullets on the walls? I mean,
there's no.
We're hearing the sound of shell casings ejected, but that can be added by CGI.
And there's no return fire anywhere. They're acting like.
There's nobody
there.
Shooting a ghost. That's the way they are. And they're reporting a lot of friendly fire type casualties because of they're like the scene that I showed out of Full Metal Jacket. Get some. Pop, pop, pop, pop, pop. Get some. Get some. Pop, pop, pop, pop. And I wish one of these young guys, I don't know if Zach makes memes. You make memes, Zach?
Unfortunately, I'm not young in the technological sense. I have no idea what technology.
One of these guys that you talked to last week, I would love them to take that Full Metal Jackson scene and create a meme out of that, putting a fucking slow-mo's face on the gunner in that Vietnam scene.
Oh yeah, there's some GTV guys like Flood and some of the other ones who are brilliant. Multimedia guys like that. So,
I mean, if you want to make me happy, man, who cares about me, I guess, but I would love to see
that. Oh,
that
would be fantastic.
Because it's really accurate. Now, there's a veteran that comments on this fire thing, and it's right up on, right up there. It says, watch Greg Stoker, U.S. war veteran, explains the ridiculous use of Hollywood style IOF combat footage. And he's kind of hinting that they might be fake.
All right.
So that's something to look at.
Go.
So it's the 13th, and as atrocities continue to mount in the Strip, the IDF just released the names and ranks of casualties from today, and it is wild. There's a lieutenant colonel, three majors, a captain, two non-commissioned officers, and then a pretty high-ranking non-commissioned officer. And you might be like, wait, where are all the privates and the corporals and the lower enlisted? Well, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to unpack this whole thing. But this is Stalingrad, dude. This is Stalingrad. This is a battle everybody studies because it was a huge blunder for the German army. They invade Russia, and they
this
bomb
is actually the
and
wrong,
shell
wrong
Stalingrad
Stoker.
Into
okay,
Russia.
I'll
with
stop it.
No, yeah, this is good. This is good.
Yeah, go
this
ahead.
Is good, Russ.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds
keep it
familiar.
Going. Keep
and
it
one
going.
Of the biggest advantages the German had were their tanks and their armored vehicles, which, because of the rubble, couldn't really maneuver the way they should have. And they really nerfed themselves against the Russians because the Russians knew their own rubble of their own city better than they ever would. So they had, like, ambush positions, fixed fighting positions, and scary sniper positions. And that is actually one of the defining aspects of the battle, because these Russian snipers would just target the officers and leave the lower enlisted men alone. And, you know, it would break morale as their officers kept having to get replaced over and over and over again. The only time you see casualty profiles just like this is with snipers. Lieutenant Colonel, Golani Brigade's 13th Battalion. Major, Golani Brigade's 13th Battalion. Major, Golani Brigade's 51st Battalion. So on. This usually speaks to military incompetence because the officers have to go to the front lines and expose themselves in order to deal with a certain type of situation that no one else can figure out. And this happens when you don't have a very strong officer or non-commissioned officer corps. So, like, in Ukraine, that's why we were seeing so many, like, generals and field grade officers being taken out by snipers, because they'd always have to be going to the front to deal with situations. And then the Ukrainian snipers would just take them out. And when that was going on, CNN, MSNBC, Fox had every military advisor pundit saying the same thing on live TV. However, you're not going to be seeing any military advisors on these news networks talking about the same exact procedure. They're just creeping through the ruins, taking out field grade officers and leaving the lower enlisted alone. That's actually very disciplined and sophisticated. When we're talking about military incompetence, I want you to look at the ages of these people. Lieutenant Colonel, 35 years old. One of my best friends was a West Point artillery officer. He didn't even make major until that. We have two majors who are 23 years old. What? That's insane. We have a 19-year-old sergeant. I was still in basic training when I was 19. I didn't even make sergeant in the Rangers until I was like 22. They're just a bunch of kids with no training. I mean, this makes a lot more sense. Well, there you have it, folks. You're not defeating Hamas with that when nobody in the military has the maturity or the practical experience for the positions they're supposed to be occupying. That's why no progress is being made, but the only thing they can do is listen to their gospel AI targeting program and drop the bombs where it tells them to drop the bombs. Seriously, just a bunch of thugs with a bunch of weapons and advanced gear that they don't deserve and that are too good for them. Oh yeah, and here's a picture of soldiers from that Golan Defense Brigade that's been getting snipered so hard. This is them inside the Hamas parliament, you know, just taking victory pictures for the fans back home. Man, you guys are really asking for it. Freaking 23-year-old majors, like, what is this, the 19th century British colonial army where you can just purchase commissions if you're wealthy enough?
Well, that was a really good
clip. I gotta
clip.
Tell you, this is completely brilliant. This guy knows exactly what he's talking about. From my Marine Corps experience, this guy is spot on. And what he's saying is Hamas has all the advantages that the Russians had in dealing with the Germans. They can't use their track vehicles. Colonel McGregor was talking about the Israelis having imposed a fatal blunder from the beginning by demolishing all the buildings, because it would mean their track vehicles, their tanks and APCs couldn't maneuver. And Hamas has all these firing positions. They get up close and personal. They've taken out 150 tanks, APCs. They're doing a brilliant job, which is why, just as he said, they're relying on their AI generated. They're just bombing, and now they're flooding the towns because they are being defeated on the ground, defeated on the ground. This was a brilliant report.
Yeah, now Hezbollah needs to come into it, because it's clear that Hamas is under a lot of pressure. There's not that many of them. They're doing a good job. They're heroes. But, there's the genocide going on. That's important. The civilian population is going to die en masse. So where are the others? Where's the rescue? So he's got another clip.
I have it set up, Russ. So shall we watch that one? Okay, here. Yeah, this guy's a sharp young guy. We'll play this one, then we'll get Zach's thoughts as well. But here we go. Here's the same obviously trained fellow from the Rangers. So here we go. And this one's called Fake Israeli Occupied Force Combat Footage. So here we go.
So we got tagged in this fake IDF combat footage, and it's a good thing for them it's fake, because if it was real, they would totally get smoked. Like, a lot of weird stuff is happening that I've never seen before. Like, this guy takes out a grenade, walks in front of his buddy's gun to throw it. Like, that's a great way to get shot in the ass, right? You guys know not to do that. They're doing this super bizarre thing where they all take turns shooting into the breach, which is, like, super disorganized, stupid, and fucking dangerous. Oh, and they're just dumping rounds, because you know what you want to do when fighting high-intensity urban combat operations? Run out of exactly. ammunition. And this is also not how you clear a room, right? There's an entire area to the left that nobody cleared. And if there was a dude crouching in the corner with an AK, they're all done. We're going to run through this one more time because we don't want to miss anything, okay? So go in front of your buddy's gun. Cool. Shoot at something. I don't know what. And then he throws another grenade. And this is why freaking you don't want to throw grenades unless you actually have to. Because look, okay, well, we have to wait for him to play like Rambo for a second. Yeah, you can't see anything because the dust. Can't see anything. It's even worse under night vision. So, yeah, and then we've got this BS clearance. Okay, they're not pushing to go clear those rooms at all. They're just standing around. Like, what even is this? One more thing. That thing right there mounted on the gun, that looks like a sophisticated LA-5 infrared laser sight. Look, it's been a minute, but when I was in, only special operations units had these. Not only is this not combat footage, and they're shooting at nothing and not actually clearing anything, but are these Israeli commandos? Does anyone know Israeli kit good enough to be able to tell? Please let me know. Because if they are special operations units, then, whoa, we're going to need a whole lot more diapers.
It is so good.
That guy's awesome, man. He's awesome. Way to go, Russ. Those are two compelling clips. So let's go around the panel. Start with Jim.
Oh, yeah. This guy's so spot on. I mean, I got to use these. You got to get those clips to me, Russ. Get them to me. These are so powerful and telling, especially about the losses and the rank of the officers who are being taken out. That is devastating.
Yeah, 23-year-old majors and firing at ghosts. That sort of sums it all up. And dropping a ton of bombs, the equivalent of 3 Hiroshimas on the civilian population. That pretty much describes this operation.
You know, and Zach, I'll have you chime in, but what this brilliant guy, Greg Stoker, was pointing out is just nonsense. That was the first clip. It was another place where they were doing the same thing, shooting at nothing, right? Acting like they're badass Rambos when there was no return fire. So, Zach, your thoughts on those clips?
Yeah, it certainly looks like complete disorganized chaos. I mean, I don't have a military background, but in the first clip, there's a couple guys that when the first one turns around, as he's the guy that actually has the camera on his headgear, when he turns around, there's like two or three guys standing completely in the line of fire, not in cover at all, in like the middle of a hallway. And again, it didn't even look like they were being shot at. But point is, it certainly doesn't look like they know what they're doing.
Yeah, totally agree. Let's see what time.
Well, what it really is, it's just staged. I mean, it's just deliberate fakery. They're trying to palm it off as though it was real, but it's clearly totally contrived, artificial, just as he said. You're not going to step in front of a guy who's firing to toss in a grenade. I mean, that's just colossally stupid. No one who's actually trained would do that. So this is just clearly just stage stop. This is theater. This is Hollywood comes to Gaza.
Maybe they're just civilians that aren't trained. I mean, don't have any training. I mean, I would throw that out there too, that they're just incompetent, that they're not really soldiers.
Yeah, that's why he was adding, if this actually is their best training, they need a lot of divers.
And why are there so many kids that are these high-ranking officers? And there's a lot of these guys that are being killed are well connected. Have you noticed that? It is like the British colonial army. There's these politically connected people. There's the nephew of Netanyahu who got killed early on.
For their, you know, combat against Hezbollah, where they were actually defeated in Lebanon. The IDF has had a cushy job, so that, you know, they like having their kids in these offices. I mean, it looks good on their resume, you know, has a lot of status in society, but they're pathetic. They're not qualified to be in those positions.
Bring on Hezbollah. Hezbollah's been preparing for this for years.
Yep.
Bring it on.
I can't wait, Russ, for Hezbollah to come in and take all of northern Israel. Scott Ritter has been pointing out there's no way that the IDF can stop if that's what Hezbollah chooses to do.
Even with the obvious illegal and immoral intervention by the Pentagon and U.S. forces, Jim, I mean, there's a ton of American military operatives over there right now.
I think that we're going to have to bite the bullet, and that the Arab states and Hezbollah are going to have to take measures against the American military. They cannot allow themselves to fight with one arm tied behind the back when the U.S. is intervening. And that means the whole thing's going to spin out of control into World War III. And I don't see any way around it.
That's horrible.
Either that, it may have the potential of ricocheting back in American politics. You know, that's the hope, is that, you know, if they sink, say they sink one of these aircraft carriers, how are the people back at home going to react to that? It can't be too positively.
Well, actually,
the problem is that the elections are rigged, Russ. See, they're operating independent. They don't give a damn about American opinion. Overwhelmingly, 80% of the country doesn't want to have anything to do with this, in my opinion, if you had real honest polling.
What happens on the street? I mean, I'm talking about the street now.
Well, Russ, we just got to look at history, because look at before Pearl Harbor, which was a staged false flag, a majority of Americans led by Charles Lindbergh Jr. and other major figures of the day were anti-war. We should not be fighting brothers against brothers. We should not be fighting and spilling American blood for Jewish banking initiatives. And all of a sudden, the staged Pearl Harbor false flag, and boom, man, a lot of normies got real patriotic. So don't you think the same thing can happen again when one of the U.S. aircraft carriers goes down?
But the Japanese weren't committing genocide.
That's
a good
point.
I mean, I agree that it was staged to overcome the isolationism that prevailed at the time, but I think the situation now, we've been watching this, we've been learning about it. Russ is right, the mainstream isn't covering it, but anyone who wants to know what the hell is going on knows what the hell is going on and doesn't like it. I think the situation politically is going to be extremely complicated if they take out a carrier. And they're going to do it. I have no doubt they're going to do it. They're going to blame it on Iran. And that's when all hell is going to break loose.
Well, Jim, I assume at some point we'll take calls in hour two. But so we don't want to miss the opportunity. Speaking of learning and teaching, your awesome annual conference, False Flags and Conspiracies Conference 2023, is going on tomorrow, Saturday, December 16th, and Sunday, December 17th. So both Russ and I are honored to be presenters, and you got a whale of a two-day schedule. So why don't you tell us about what's going on, Jim?
Yeah, why don't you scroll down while I talk about it? It's free and available to the public. You need a ticket. That'll put you in the Zoom room, and you'll be able to ask questions. If you scroll further down, we can actually see more. If you're on that is actually on the website for it. If you went to mine, go to the schedule. Here you'd have to find the right. Go to schedule. Yeah, there. Good, good, good. So, look, this is the first day, Saturday. Ace Baker, brilliant guy. False flags happen, so what? Ryan Davidson, PI, this guy's a genius at doing research. Really, he's telling you how to do it. Fred Lochner, who, of course, was celebrated for the Lochner Report and in the trials in Canada for a Holocaust denier, where he came back with a report that there were no gas chambers anywhere in any of the camps. I'm going to give an update on what we know now we didn't know then about JFK. And we're going to have question periods after each group of presentations. And Donald Jeffries, another super smart guy, how COVID-19 destroyed civil liberties and shut down the world. Stephanie Sledge, who edits the government rag, exposing the truth about Trump. Now, those who want to get wax in on Trump, on the COVID, there it is. She's going to deliver them. Dr. Mel Ness, everyone knows, very famous, biological warfare and the World Health Organization biosecurity agenda. Another question session. Then Giuseppe, K. kill Bill before he kills us all. Joaquin Agopian, this guy's a leading expert in the world on pedophilia, at least genocide against the human race. He publishes a lot on my blog. Dr. Rima Labo, the conspiracy is real. Now, how do we fix it? Jack Mullen, super smart guy on privacy and freedom. He's done a huge amount of research on these issues. That is Saturday. If you turn to Sunday, we begin with Joe Olson on the Lone Star State, the Mafia, CIA, George Herbert Walker Bush, no doubt W as well, followed by Carl Herman, who's a very, very smart guy about patriots versus loyalists. Monique Lukens, who's been extremely active with the Los Angeles School District and fighting all the mandates. The curious case of a 2.5 George Floyds. Then we have a question period. Scott Bennett, who's a former Army intel and psyops officer, has been to the Donbass. He's appeared on RT and Russian, a whole host of television programs about it, what he has seen up close and personal. Nick Carlson, he's this guy's sensational historian of science, one of the world's leading experts on Sir Isaac Newton. He has published a collection on a dozen or more false flags in Europe. Here he has his book, Ukraine, the Just War. He lays out the case. Then we have our own Russ Winter on the Israeli-Hamas false flag, followed by Ron Avery, talking about the legal claim of Jews to the Palestinian lands as the greatest lie ever told. Then we have, of course, another question session. Marion Hunayme, who's a rather distinguished journalist. She's done a huge amount on George Floyd. Here she's talking about the descent of journalism in a neo-fascist age. John Kaminsky, very outspoken. Religion is a mind control device. Practically everyone knows John. Sarah Westall, a distinguished journalist on neuro warfare, the brain is a battlefield. And Dr. Catherine Horton, who's led the fight against targeted individuals in the international courts, especially in the UK, and who happens to be married to William Binney, our former cybersecurity expert who blew the whistle on the claim that there'd been Russian hacking at the DNC. I mean, these are distinguished speakers, highly qualified. And wow. It's free to the public, free to the public.
That might be your best lineup ever, Jim. I mean, wow, there's a lot of heavy hitters there.
Major red pilling there. Maybe you get 20,000 people red pilled on that. Whoa.
Fantastic, Jim. Yeah, I'll tell you, when I was
working. So it's free, so there's no barrier to watch this stuff. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that. That's great.
And then I guess you need to click. At the website, there's a big red banner with white letters. Reserve your Zoom seat here. So if you're interested,
you can go to my blog and do the same, or you can go to the website and you can get it. That's right. And we're on the count.
Let me, I'll put the website in all the chat rooms right now, Jim. So that'll be great.
And all the presentations can be shared with the uncle on Facebook, et cetera, right?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
All right, so there's that. All right, so yay. All right, so let's see. Mitchell said the server's down, so I don't even know if it'll be a top of the hour break. We'll just continue on.
It would be in 3 minutes
if it's coming. But maybe
if it's coming. Okay. We can just play it by ear. But I'm really glad you guys are speaking, and I'm real tickled. Yeah, with the lineup fell into place. These things are a challenge. The greatest advance was recruiting Lorian Fanton, who's wonderful at producing conferences, who has been instrumental in putting the whole thing together with me. So I've recruited the speakers and established the lineup, and she's helping me get it out to the public by way of Zoom and other methods. And we're planning to have it also broadcast live, for example, on Rumble.
That's awesome. I'm surprised Lorian's not giving a presentation.
Just the way it played out. She is so busy. I don't think she would have been. I think she's glad she's not. But I'll be introducing half the speakers in the morning, and she'll be introducing the other speakers in the afternoon.
Fantastic. Well, Jim, I mean, literally, I've presented at, I think this is your fourth one, right? And yeah. I presented the three or four of them, and they've always been good. But this lineup, wow! I mean, there's no weak sisters at all. It's really impressive. So, well done.
Excellent.
All right, so Russ, we've got about a couple minutes. Is there one more clip you wanted to play? I've got a few more queued up from your list.
Well, I kind of wanted to focus in a little bit on the treatment of the people of Gaza, and I'll point out that there's 1 million men of non-elderly or post-adolescent men that live in Gaza. And let's just take a look at how Israel is going to deal with them. I think we got kind of a clue with this beating of this journalist. Imagine what's going, if they're doing that in front of cameras, imagine what they're doing when they get these guys alone. What a nightmare. In fact, I'm having nightmares about this.
They even reports of mass executions, Russ, that they're lining them up in front of big pits, putting them on their knees and shooting them in the back of the head, which would not surprise me.
Yeah, that's got to go on. So anyway, the IDF strips civilians and displays them on the street next to a pit. You can go into that article, and there's some clips in there that we can kind of show. You know, I think the visuals are real powerful.
All right.
Something really wrong with these people. It's kind of a form of revenge, I think, for like World War II and their imaginations. Been watching too much Schindler's List and like that. So you know, it's been ingrained in them that they've got to get revenge
on a mythical tale.
Right.
Scroll that.
If we can maybe just work off the article.
Sure. There's the call-in number. Let me get back to that now. I have that for hour two.
Now, that's, of course, for can Mitchell handle it? That's my call-in
yep,
number.
Yep, I already worked it out with him. There's no top of the hour break, and he provided me the call-in number. So where's the article, Excellent. Russ? Which one are we looking at?
It's linked to in your DM, but also on my site, December 8th, IDF strips citizens and displays them on the street next to a pit.
Oh, it's in the, okay, I'll go look at the.
And we can just kind of go through these.
Okay, there's the queue. So let me find your article.
So what's happening is we're getting into the urban fighting right now. So everybody's kind of packed in like sardines. And there's some people are staying in the north, and here in the north, this is what happens if you stayed in the north. These two people are taking shelter in a school, and they find them in there.
Okay. And there we go. I got it. All right. Let's display it.
So this is taken in Beit Laha, North Gaza, and these unfortunate men are civilians that were dragged out of a school where they were sheltering. Note all the open-toed sandals on the street. Note the lack of wounds sustained in desperate combat. And this portly guy you see in the picture.
Right here.
Yeah, right down at half the page is a journalist.
Oh, right here. Okay. Sure. His name is Dia Al-Khalat.
Yeah, and the money shot is right below that. And there's a... See, first they were claiming it was down south in the Lunas fighting, but the giveaway was a blue signage which came from the Yulon Pharmacy in Beit Lahia, up in the north, and so the Israelis had to change their story once it got out that they weren't down in the south, that these were guys up in the north. You kind of see them there, stripped naked, on the street. With their shoes scattered around. So it's just a humiliation ritual.
Exactly.
And they've been presenting them as though they were Hamas who'd surrendered, but Hamas is not surrendering. It was just a psyop. They've rounded these kids up, stripped them down, and presented them as though they were. They're lying about everything. I mean, and of course, they're taught to lie. That is their entitlement to lie to the goyim. By deception shall we conduct war. That, of course, is the motto of the Mossad, and it's practiced ubiquitously.
Yep,
they lie about everything.
My favorite six-word Russian proverb, fish swim, birds fly, Jews lie, and that is so true.
Well, first they came out and said these guys were Hamas or terrorists, of course, the word they like to use. But Israel's Broadcasting Corporation admits that it was a fishing expedition. So they, you know, they're checking guys out. That's the problem with this kind of an operation. You got a million men. You're going to have to check them out. That's going to get ugly. And, you know, the thing is that there probably are a lot of people going to Hamas's side. You know, they're dying in a genocide. Their families are dying on the beach in a genocide. Right. These guys are backed up against the corner. There's probably people that have never thought about fighting for the resistance, joining the resistance. That's what's so awful about this situation.
And they'll
capture some of them because some of them probably aren't as well trained.
And you just posted a disgusting among those taken hostage today in the Beit Lahia area. Khalil Hashem Al-Kahat, age 65. Rafiq Ahmad Al-Kahat, 60. Muhammad Ismail Al-Kahat, 57. School director Darwish Garbawi, 48. Ahmed Akram Lubad, 56. A member of the UN staff and his children. Muhammad Hamza Al-Kahat, 15 years old. Yusuf Khalid Lubad, 15 years old. So clearly, none of these individuals, either the seniors or the teenagers, are a real threat. So, yeah, this is just more despicable behavior by the despicable subhuman Israelis.
Yeah, and there they are hauling them off in a truck. It's just all so symbolic.
Yeah, there it is right there.
And then there's the picture of them lined up next to a pit. Yep. Why'd they do these optics? That's for the home consumption.
Of course.
See, they don't, but they have no introspection at all. They just think that they're acting normally, and when the world sees this, they just want the home audience to see these guys lined up to a pit, because it ties into the Schindler's List Holocaust narrative that they love.
The lies of the Holocaust.
Hey, look at us. It doesn't matter if they're lies or not. I'm not arguing that elements of the Holocaust one way or the other. I'm not even going to go there.
I will.
You can, but that's 80 years ago. It's ingrained in them. Right. So you have to get some kind of revenge that. And it comes back to the world we live in today and has repercussions. If you think this way, you think you can just go ahead and terrorize because it's like serial killers, their moms were bad and they start to, they get older and they hate women. So they start acting up against women because it's projection.
So
exactly the same thing. Sociopathy.
For the radio audience, there's about 50, 60 Palestinians blindfolded down to their underwear in front of a pit with about 8 or 9 Israeli full geared up soldiers. And they're all, like I said, they're blindfolded. And the interpretation of the picture is these vile Jews are going to gun all these guys down and dump the bodies in the pit. That's what they're trying to send the message to. So my question to you three guys is, do you think they actually did it? Do you think they actually killed all those guys?
I think they released some of them later.
Okay, good. At least there's that. So
I think by and large,
it wouldn't surprise me in the least, just sadly, because remember, they designated all these Palestinians, really every man, woman, and child, as a terrorist.
Right.
And therefore, under the laws of war, they are entitled to execute them without the benefit of any trial. I mean, it's just, that's why the Democrats are eager for there to be a civil war in the United States, because they're going to designate, remember the domestic terrorist meme emerging from January 7th?
Right.
They're going to designate all the conservative voices, Trump supporters, MAGA members as terrorists, and they're going to unleash a reign of terror upon us. Have no doubt about it. That's their plan.
Zach, your thoughts on the pictures and what Jim just said.
Yeah, the pictures definitely, they are symbolic of that exact Holocaust narrative. And, you know, there is I think there is a bit of tribalness in these people. So something like this is quite normal for them. I don't think they see this as putting anything on a world stage or doing anything that's really out of the ordinary. They really are a people of massacres for the last how many thousand years. As regards what Jim says, I can certainly see it happening. I think there's a lot of merit to that.
Yeah, just unbelievable what we're witnessing in the modern times. All right, Russ, I guess let's give the
Well, but if I didn't have such a bad knee, and if I was in that situation like these guys, I'd get a hold of a fucking AK-47. There's weapons all over the place. They're stashed everywhere. I'm sure somebody could arrange for me to get a hold of a weapon. And I would imagine that a lot of these guys are now armed to the teeth. They've probably doubled or tripled the amount of resistance.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Jim's producer, Mitchell, makes an excellent point in the chat. He says, are we seeing this play out from two absurdities? And then he opens up a quote, anyone who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. And that's
Voltaire.
Voltaire, there you go. Yeah. All right, if anybody'd like to call in.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Read the whole quote. Sorry, I should have cut my mouth shut.
Okay. Mitchell shared the Voltaire quote. Anyone who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities, and he's exactly right. All right, if you'd like to call in and share your thoughts on hour one, 540-352-4452. That's 540-352-4452. Again, 540-352-4452. All right. So as we wait to see if we get some callers, anything else, Russ, you wanted to cover in the list you supplied?
Let's see. Make sure we've got the. Oh, we got to talk about this Mowassi safe haven.
All right. Let me see. Do I have that one up yet? Let's see. Okay. See, they live at the they label it the humanitarian zone, that one?
Yeah, this is where these people are going to die en masse. They're going to be a big burial ground down there this winter. This is where they'll starve to death.
Okay, so the tweet says, see this tiny strip labeled humanitarian zone. That's Mowassi. That's where Israel wants 2.2 million Gazans to fit with no water, shelter, electricity. They really mean it when they call Palestinians human animals. And then if you click on the picture.
And then right above that is this little clip with this Israeli ambassador to Britain and what kind of venom comes out of her mouth.
Okay.
I just see nothing redeeming about these people at all. I'm amazed. I try to look for signs of humanity in just about everybody. You know, even people that are in tough situations and tough sides. And the United States, the Americans are kind of in the same category. Very sociopathic.
Okay,
I'm no longer that proud to be an American. I used to really love being an American.
Right. We'll play that clip from that Israeli ambassador in a moment, but we've got our first caller, area code 435. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from, and what's on your mind?
My name is Jeff from Utah, and I would like to know if, Giuseppe, that you could show the Church of Satan hierarchy to Jim Fetzer about MAGA, and that it's the fifth highest level in Satanism, if you could show him that. Also, if you could show him that the Rothschilds have owned and controlled Trump since the 1980s through bankruptcy, and Trump is also friends with Klaus Schwab and a member of the World Economic Forum. I'm surprised he doesn't know these things as researched as he is. Trump is the most anti-American and pro-Israeli president we've ever had. He pushed for deadly 5G, deadly vaccines that are killing Americans by the millions. He left the border open. He didn't prosecute Hillary. He is a disaster, and he will be a dictator if selected to be back as president.
Well, Jim, your thoughts on Jeff's bullet points there.
Love it. I'm a big believer in freedom of speech. He's making a lot of fascinating points. I think with regard to Hillary, I think she's CIA. I think she has a get-out-of-free card. I think she couldn't be prosecuted. It's like Trump wanted to release the JFK stuff, and he got a fair amount out. But the CIA was adamant that it was risk to national security because it would show the CIA had a key role in taking out JFK. Now, I agree with all this stuff about the facts, but I do not believe Trump to be a Satanist. I mean, look what he did in office. He made us energy independent. He shut down the border. He gave us a surging economy so the lowest wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate. He got multiple conservative court appointees onto the Supreme Court. I like that you're offering a lot of citations. I'll just say, I acknowledge a lot of that, but I'm still not convinced he isn't for America first, and that the strongest evidence we have is how hard they're fighting against him. I mean, for crying out loud, if you're right, just make him president. You didn't have to steal the election in 2020. Just put him in after he won it legitimately, and then you don't have all the other hassles that go along with it. So that, in my opinion, is the bottom line here. It's just okay. Like how they approach Alex Jones and me and others who want to reveal the truth about Sandy Hook. They have to fabricate lawsuits, none of which are warranted, and impose hefty fines in order to create the impression that we were wrong about Sandy Hook when we were not wrong about Sandy Hook. I'm rather embarrassed, by the way, that while Alex has been reinstated on Twitter, of which I approve, I mean, he and I go back a ways. When he organized the American Scholars Conference on 9/11 in Los Angeles in June of 2006, he invited me, the founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, to be the keynote speaker. And the following day on Sunday, when they had the panel discussion, the four members of the panel, Steve Jones, Bob Bowman, Webster Tarpley, and me, were all members of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. And C-SPAN put it on 7 or 8 times the hour and 45 minutes. It's there today. So, you know, Alex, I think, has done a lot of good. But he went on here when he was being questioned in a conference call with a dozen, including Elon Musk, to a question saying, wasn't it horrible, you know, to hurt the feelings of these parents by suggesting their kids hadn't died, all based on the assumption they had died. And, of course, a lot of the claims about harassment are just made up and fabricated. I know no one in the Sandy Hook Truth community would do anything remotely like that. We did have the one woman, Lucy Richards down in Florida, who made some scurrilous phone call. And would you believe, during my trial for damages, they played that scurrilous phone call as though I had anything to do with it and sought to imply that I had, when of course I had not. He went on to say he was just reporting what he had learned from professors, meaning me, in school safety efforts, meaning Wolfgang Hemmler, that it had been a drill. Well, it was a drill. We have the FEMA manual. We have the FBI Consolidated Crime Report for 2012 showing an intersection of murders and non-negligent manslaughters for Newtown for 2012. The number 0, meaning there weren't any. And, of course, Sandy Hook is a subdivision. We had all the obvious evidence, porta potties in place. We had pizza and bottled water at the firehouse. We had all these people wearing color-coded name tags. We had parents bringing children to the scene. Does anyone believe a parent is going to bring a child to the scene of a child shooting massacre? I mean, it's absurd. We also had no surge of EMTs, no string of ambulance that rushed little bodies off to hospitals where they could be declared to be dead and mind or alive. No medevac helicopter called. Triage tarp was put out. No bodies dead or wounded were placed on it. The parents weren't allowed to come in contact with their children. There was no string of buses. In fact, it turns out, and this is something I learned during the last year when I came into contact with two of the participants in the event through a friend of theirs who probably knows more about Sandy Hook than anyone alive, that one of the parties who was cast as Emily Parker even located a photograph of Noah Posner celebrating his 8th birthday, which is a pretty good trick since he's supposed to have died at the age of 6, and where I could find the Connecticut FEMA schedule for the event, where they not only had it on as event L.366 for that day, but they sent out a map how to get from Bridgeport down to Dickinson Drive, where the school was located. And get this, it wasn't even an elementary school. It was a special needs school. It actually was closed in 2006. And they told me Eric Holder came to Newtown in 2006 and offer the community $140 million if they participate in this scam, which is supposed to illustrate to all Americans what could happen if we don't take guns away from law-abiding citizens. I mean, it was absurd. They had rehearsals, auditions for the roles. They signed non-disclosure agreements. They had fringe benefits. They don't pay any taxes. They get free college. I'm telling you, the whole thing is just a manifest absurdity. So I wrote to Elon Musk. I sent him a tweet and said, Elon, since I'm the professor, why don't we have a debate between Alex Jones and me over Sandy Hook? But I guarantee you, he won't do it because I would mop the floor with him. This is a disgrace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see, I guess. Thank you, Jeff, for your call. We've got another caller, Brian, area code 816. Welcome, Brian. What's on your mind?
Well, I always think of what the commies said, two steps forward and one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. You know, with Obama, they had their two steps forward. With Trump, they had their one step back. Now with Biden, they've taken their two steps forward, and the march always ends up in the same place with fascism, communism, whatever. If things were the way they should be, we wouldn't be heading off this cliff we're heading off of. And I just consider all of them part of their controlled opposition. And it's kabuki theater. You know, you would lose interest if it was easy. They've got to make it look like they're really doing something to keep everybody engaged in it. So that's my take on it.
Well, definitely. Let's get thoughts of. Let's go with Russ, then Zach, then Jim can finish up with the replies. Russ, what do you think? Is it all kabuki theater?
Well, of course. Let's go. Let's take a look at the Mwassi situation because this is critical. I don't know. I can only guess how many people are going to die.
Okay, so let me bring that up.
You know, I can't really be a crystal ball on the impact of this.
Did you want to
watch this lady? Watch her carefully.
All right. So this is the
that's Sky News checks her out. They're checking these people out. They're not letting these Israelis spew off their lies freely.
Okay.
There's fact checking going on.
All right. Here we go.
There is a river. There is a place in Gaza called the Mwassi. The Mwassi is the place where they all can have shelters. Together with international organizations, we created shelters for the Palestinian people. No, so you cannot say Israel is not, you know, facilitating that. Together with humanitarian aid.
This is where she's talking about. A desolate wasteland of sand dunes next to the Mediterranean Sea. There is no aid in Al-Mawazi. There are no aid agency tents. There are no food kitchens. There is no help here.
There is a river. There is a place in Gaza called the Mwassi. The Mwassi is the place where they all can have shelters. Together with international organizations, we created shelters for the Palestinian people. So you cannot say Israel is not, you know, facilitating.
So it's clear she's lying through her teeth.
That's really amazing how they just.
What a joke!
The media's catching them some of the times.
That's beyond despicable. But you know, it is pretty much of a classic play by the Israeli Jews. They are
CNN did a pretty good story on South Gaza. They sent a crew in there, very emotional, all little kids. It's a good effort. I'm glad they did it, but they're acting like this is some kind of a storm. That, a big storm came in and killed all these people. It's not a fucking storm. These Israelis did it. Yes. Israelis with American backing are responsible for this. Nobody can say that.
Yep, that's exactly right, Russ. Really right. And let's give a shout out to your exceptional website, Russ. Let me put it up. Winterwatch.net. Literally watch... or rather read your new articles every day, winterwatch.net. And then, of course, James Fetzer, jameshfetzer.org. And, of course, Zach on Logos Revealed at Odyssey. So those are our three participants today. They've got regular, exceptional content. So let's go to Zach. Zach, I mean, the Mowasi thing, it's you know, I know you've studied and followed this. It's obvious a page right out of the Zionist playbook and their heavy-handed genocidal initiatives to try and completely eliminate the native Palestinians and create, as the Israeli Remfen flag, those two blue stripes from the Euphrates to the Nile. They won it all. So your thoughts, Zach?
Yeah, well, I actually want to drag back to your thoughts about, or your question, rather, about this being a lot of feeder on both sides, kind of playing the game to keep you involved. David Icke, who I don't typically follow a lot of his stuff, he made a very good post the other day, basically explaining how Twitter plays a very large role in that. So a lot of these kind of mainstream guys that we know to be controlled opposition have now taken to be basically full-time on Twitter. So a good example of this would be Tucker Carlson, who will push certain narratives but won't actually go all the way and describe the full depth of things. So, you know, he'll go into a little bit of replacement theory. He won't ever advocate actually for our people as a collective, but he'll talk about how we're going extinct, or how we're being replaced in our own nation. He won't talk about the forces that are behind that. You know, he's got his Kabbalah bracelet, but then he comes over to this, you know, Free Speech X and basically takes over this mainstream kind of narrative on X. I would recommend anybody who's interested in looking into that or has questions about maybe Elon Musk's intentions, look into David Icke's post on that. It was a very insightful post, but it really plays into that higher understanding of how they basically play both sides of the coin and keep you entertained and distracted so that you're focused on their narrative that they would like, the framework that they've created for you to look at things in politically.
The some people pronounce his last name Icke, but yeah, David Icke has some interesting thoughts. So let's go to Jim. Those are some interesting points, Ross, especially about Tucker. Jim, your thoughts on what Zach brought up as controlled opposition?
Well, Tucker is so far ahead of everybody else, you know, to say he's not perfect is to use that idea of perfection to defeat the good. He's very, very good. I mean, he got booted off of Fox for contesting official narratives. He himself has suggested the narrative about January 6th, and we're now getting reports about busloads of FBI assets being trucked in for the January 6th event. I mean, Tucker is doing more good out there and reaching more people than any other figure on the internet. So I find it hard to fault him for not doing even better. Of course, I would like that, but he's doing a hell of a lot of good, notwithstanding.
Russ, your thoughts on Tucker and Zach's point of controlled opposition?
Well, he's probably one of the best hands we've been dealt. We're not being dealt very good hands. And so he is probably controlled opposition. He has an element of truth in what he says. Of course, that's what I used to think of Alex Jones, too, when I was an Alex Jones fan, is that there's elements of truth that, you know, we're so starved for any kind of truth-telling.
Right.
You know, we're contrasted with that Israeli ambassador where they just lie to your face.
Yep.
And somebody comes along and articulates a little differently these issues. But again, I'd kind of come back to Gaza. I really wonder who in the mainstream media is really standing up on. That's my litmus test. Is Tucker Carlson addressing this issue? Zach?
Not that I have personally seen. He might have maybe very briefly touched on it, but he has certainly not gone to the extent of expressing that Israel is in the wrong or even discussing some of the atrocities going on. He might have briefly just said, you know, what they're doing is wrong, but not actually going into it.
Well, then that kind of keeps people asleep, doesn't it? That's the point that you're making. He'll address all these peripheral issues that kind of appeal to people,
And then the core issue of the day, at least to me, and maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. Genociding hundreds of thousands of Gazans is not the issue of the day. Okay. I think it is the issue of the day. So if he's not addressing that, if Alex Jones isn't coming, I think Alex Jones kind of is.
Yeah, quite a bit. Alex Jones, I think, covers a lot of good things. And you know, Alex, I would also kind of be on the same page with. I think he says a lot of good things, but again, he'll never go to the root of the problem, right? Like liken it to a tree. The
right.
Stump, which is the root of the problem, and then we have all the branches, which are the symptoms.
And the Chinese.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what people like Tucker Carlson will do. They'll chop at the branches, and they'll tell you, guys, look, I'm cutting the branches down. So you think they're a good guy, but a real good guy would go straight for the stump.
Yep.
Listen, I gather Alex had a guest, a name momentarily eluding me, who was really savaging Israel. And Alex was letting him speak, wasn't qualifying him. So maybe he wasn't saying it directly himself in his words, but he was certainly allowing a vitriolic critic of Israel and the slaughter in Gaza to speak freely on InfoWars.
Well, that's certainly something. Well, fellas, we got another caller from area code 330, which is Eastern Ohio. Welcome. And what's your name and what's on your mind?
Hello, G-Man. This is Joe from Ohio.
Hi, Joe. What would you like to address with the show participants today?
Okay. I have spent 30 years intimately involved with the modern-day churches.
Mm-hmm.
In my humble opinion, anything that is classified or named as Jew or Israeli, they can do no wrong. They can murder, they can maim, they can do anything they want to. These people will never acquiesce to truth because of what they have been told by the hierarchies of Christendom overall. Any denomination, Protestant, Catholic, it just doesn't matter. I have had conversations with people that are intelligent, well-to-do, and they unequivocally told me, just like in the Old Testament, when they were told to murder and slaughter, it doesn't matter what they do, they are God's chosen people, and we will stick by that, and they will. My family is the same way. I don't think that will ever, and the Bible actually is the biggest controlled opposition there is. Because it's just not understood. And can I read? Yeah, that's how I see it. And I'd like to read two lines from what happened at 9/11, if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
Sure.
Okay, fact. The destruction of World Trade Center 7, and there were seven buildings designated as World Trade Center. The destruction of World Trade Center 7 in late afternoon on 9/11 was whisper quiet. The seismic signal during its disappearance was not significantly greater than background noise. So
okay.
That's all I got.
Well, a couple of great points. I mean, Joe, Jim, then Russ, then Zach. Joe brings up a compelling point that these weak-minded evangelical Zionist Christians, they literally can't discern the message, the so-called new covenant of Jesus the Christ and the new message of the New Testament versus the Old Testament and its brutality and its written by Jews for Jews, the modern term Jew, because Jew has only been around for like 400 years. But these Babylonian Talmudists, these violent, narcissistic Luciferians. And yet, you know, you've got all these goofs who just, it says it in the Old Testament, so Jews are the chosen people. Even though it's pretty much 5 minutes of investigation on the internet leads you to the despicable British drunk Cyrus Scofield and his being paid by the Rothschild handler Samuel Untmeyer a princely sum of money to rewrite the Bible into the Scofield Reference Bible, which is essentially a King James Bible now, and make the Edom the Edomites, the Esau Edomites, who are hated by, spurned by God into the chosen. So the Israelis, the Jews, the Zionists, they're not the chosen. They just invert the lies, and they were cast out by Jesus Christ. So there's I mean, again, fish swim, birds fly, Jews lie. So Jim, your thoughts on Joe's call, then we'll go to Zach. Go to Russ and Zach.
Well, the Old Testament is just laden with genocide. I mean, Deuteronomy, Joshua, you go through it. I mean, there's one genocide after another. What right. You have to understand
Bibio quoted every day.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the God of the Jews is a God of vengeance. I mean, he's real happy with mass murder. That doesn't bother him at all. He even promotes it. So the caller's fundamental point is, of course, completely sound. And your add-on about so many Christian evangelicals basically having been played, I'm sorry to say, is also spot on. Yeah. It turns out Islam recognizes the legitimacy of Christianity and of Judaism. Christianity, the legitimacy of Judaism, but Judaism does not recognize the legitimacy of either Christianity or Islam. It's tragic. And, we all have to wake up to the grim reality that these Israeli Zionist Jewish supremacists believe they are superior to all other races that only exist to serve the Jew, to whom they're entitled all the world's riches, much less the promised land. I mean, it was God's will that they should have Palestine, and therefore our human laws do not matter. They're following a higher dictum, a higher order of authority.
Great point. Russ, your thoughts then, Zach?
Well, my brother was once an evangelical, like 15 years ago. And all of a sudden he woke up and he's telling me things exactly what this caller is saying. So I put a lot of credence in this caller, what he's describing, because it was described to me by my brother. And he would sit me down, and I would kind of blow it off. I said, geez, really? You used to be a big Christian, you know, believe in all this evangelical stuff. And he would just break it down very succinctly, because he'd put a lot of thought and study into it, because he's a Christian. And he just called it a giant scam. And he kind of really grew to sort of really hate the Zionists and the Jews for doing this trickery, and kind of went his own way. I call it I won't mention his name, Church of, it's kind of what the family calls it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, he woke me up to this even before I became awoke on other issues.
So, Zach, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Joe makes a good point. The Bible is a very interpretable document, right? So, one person can read it and see one thing, another person can read it and see something completely different. So with a little bit of manipulation, even just not only in the book itself, but in the teachings of the book, right, you can get two different outcomes of people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think this is the biggest problem is modern churches are only teaching one specific interpretation of the book, which, again, is that interpretation that Jews are God's chosen, that they can do no wrong, they can do no harm. And that this doctrine of tolerance, just accept everything, right? Let's put people want to be gay. Let's put the pride flag in the church, even though the Bible is literally against those things. So we're only getting really one version of the Bible. Meanwhile, I think, G-Man, if you were to stand up on the podium and teach the Bible, you would be teaching an entirely different version.
Right.
So, I think it's just a matter of what the people are being taught, because many won't teach themselves, unfortunately.
If these people, evangelicals, still think the Jews are this chosen people, go back through the clip. Go back through this whole presentation. Look at the clips that have been put on there.
Great point.
And ask yourself the question: does this look like God's chosen people?
Great point. They
look very satanic. Very satanic.
Very. They are satanic. They are the seed of Satan, literal seed.
Yep.
They're really revealing their mask, taking the mask down. Even this Gaza thing has even woke me up a little bit more about them. I got to admit that even even I was a little bit restrained on being too overly critical, but not anymore. They're revealing a lot. They're showing their true colors.
Excellent, Russ. I'm glad you've been, I mean, that's what's so cool about you, Russ, is you're very reasoned and open-minded, but I mean, there's the brutality of their actions define them at this point. I mean, there's no other interpretation.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And it's too late for them to go back. They've caused irreparable harm. They're destabilizing the whole world, and it doesn't look like they're going to stop. So we're on a serious, you know, terror ride, you know, through the horror factory with these people.
Yeah.
And I've had too many nightmares. I mean, I've been kind of absorbing a lot of this stuff going on, and I literally have dreams of these goons taking me away and putting me next to a pit. I've had dreams like that. The dreams are very strange. They're sort of set in my hometown when I was a kid. I don't know what it is about dream states. So I'm always in my hometown. That's the environment. But it's kind of like being in Gaza. And for some reason, these Jew goons show up and deal with me.
Well, and what's fascinating.
And then when I'm next to the pit, I got to tell you, the dream abruptly ends.
You know, what's fascinating about the subconscious, Russ, is, you know, there's messages both from reality and both from your own inner workings, your subconscious. And that's what's so amazing about dreams. And the fact that it's a recurring dream is certainly powerful. But, Jim, your thoughts and then Zach.
Well, I think they're covering all the bases here. Yeah, I mean, it's just very, very troubling the extent to which the American people really are detached from reality. But even more so, the Israelis seem to be living in a fantasy land about how, with no capacity to appreciate how the world looks at them. And as Russ is emphasizing, their actions speak overwhelmingly louder than their words.
Yeah, well, they need to turn off the net, turn off the Netflix, get rid of the replays of Schindler's List, a similar material. Cold turkey for the next 5 years. That would be my treatment for them, or 10 years, depending on how severe their problem is.
Well, and, you know what's so disturbing? And then I'll
no more Schindler's List until they show the slightest inkling of humanity.
Right, right. But and what's so brutal, Zach, is that from birth, literally, you know, the Jewish way is to torture their young males, cut off the tip of their penis, have some sexually diseased rabbi suck the blood from the little newborn's penis. I mean, the pain that little baby goes through is unimaginable. You go from the safety of the womb to having some sick child raping devil priest suck blood off your maimed penis, and that's just the beginning. They're indoctrinated. Mind control, you know, the sophistication of the secret societies, the Satanists, mind control, the Tavistock Institute, the Frankfurt School, the Stanford Research Institute, the CIA's own work, and yada yada. These Jews are literally brainwashed from birth, and so when they're like chanting and loving the fact that the Palestinians are being wiped out, it's because they are literally been developed into adult psychopaths. So your thoughts, Zach?
Yeah, I entirely agree with this. I mean, this is identical to, let's look all the way back at the Book of Esther. It was the exact same situation, right? They slaughter a people, and as they're slaughtering the people, they claim it to be defense.
Right.
They're doing the same thing over in Gaza right now. They're slaughtering a people, and they're saying, well, Israel has a right to defend itself. That's always the narrative that they pull, and I don't know if it's because they genuinely believe that, because they're that psychopathic. But I want to actually touch on the circumcision piece that you just brought up. There's an importance behind that as well, because that's become a custom in America. Many people get circumcised and don't really know where this tradition originates. This is a Jewish tradition, and it comes from, it's how they believe they keep their covenant with God, and they are the ones that normalized it in this country. And the device that we use to circumcise today was invented by Haram Yellen and Aaron Goldstein, two Jews, and they were calling for universal circus people,
right,
and they
exactly.
put it under the guise of health.
Yep, you're exactly right. That's a great point. Well, gentlemen, we've got another caller from Northern Massachusetts, area code 978. Welcome. What's your name, and what would you like to discuss with the fellas today?
Okay, good afternoon, Giuseppe. I've spoken to you before. This is actually Reese calling. I'm away on a business trip. I usually call from New York. Uh-huh. I'm away for a couple of days. I wanted to shed a little enlightenment here, because what I heard is a few things that I considered oft-repeated misdirections, or, like, for instance, I'm going to give you one of the two. That one was just mentioned about circumcision. Just briefly, without going into it, I didn't call to discuss circumcision, but let me mention this. Even doctors today say that the circumcision in Bible times, in Old Testament times, where hygiene wasn't as good, people didn't bathe as much as they do, was actually a very good, hygiene for people back then. And the other thing is that the scriptures specifically mention that the child should be circumcised on the eighth day. Now, if this came from some Canaanite stone Molech god, that, in other words, a complete fictitious creation of sadistic Jews because they like to chop the tips of penises and suck the blood out, which today they definitely do. Well, how is it that they knew exactly that the blood clotting factor was at a peak on the eighth day after delivery? You know, so I think, in other words, I'm not saying I'm not an advocate of circumcision today, because we live in an age today with as much better hygiene. Mm-hmm. So I would like to address what I heard before about this bloodthirsty God of the Old Testament and the massacres that took place. Now, mm-hmm. we hear that repeated. I've heard it on alternative talk radio for 15 years. But you know what they never mentioned, Giuseppe? Mm-hmm. And I know you're informed on the subject. Let's compare the minuscule number of people that were massacred. And believe me, those were terrible massacres that took place in the Old Testament times. But there was a reason for it. Let's compare first the numbers. We're talking about a million people, maybe a million and a half, in all those lands throughout Canaan that were massacred. Let's compare that to the God of atheism, which I know some of the hosts on this network believe in, the God of atheism. 170 million people brutally massacred, machine gunned into pits, having their intestines cut out as they ran around a pole with their disemboweled, having their eyes gouged out. The horrors that we saw after the Red Army had gone into Germany after World War II, where entire basements had a foot or so of blood, human blood, and bits of brain and bone. So all these people that are out there bemoaning the evils of the Old Testament, it is a spit in the ocean compared to the evils of atheistic communism. I just want to address that, because I hear it mentioned so often. And here's the other thing, Giuseppe. There was actually a reason for it. It wasn't that the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, you might call him, was some kind of a bloodthirsty God that was desiring, as the Aztecs and the Mayans were, you know, beheading children on the pyramids down in Mexico. But it was for a reason. The peoples of the lands that they were purging were really debased people. They were committing child sacrifice and all kind of other types of debased, backwards practices, and God wanted to cleanse them from the land. So it wasn't, you know, again, whether you agree with that or not, and if you think they should have set up schools to educate the peoples of Canaan, that's fine. You could have that opinion. But there was a reason for it. It wasn't because the God of the Old Testament is some kind of a killer, bloodthirsty God, like a Joe Stalin, for instance. But it was because he wanted to cleanse the lands of those satanic, many of them were demonic people, and he wanted to make it, safe for the people of Israel to be settled in them, in those lands. So that's what I have to say about that.
Well, that's quite a lot of interesting points, Reese. Let's get everybody's thoughts, starting with Jim.
Well, the idea of a God of atheism is, of course, contradictory, because atheists believe there is no God. I'm an agnostic. I think Reese thought he was talking about me, but he's clearly not, because agnostics neither believe in the existence of God nor believe in the non-existence of God. his basic argument, it seems to me, boiled down is that the slaughters of the past recorded in the Old Testament are relatively insignificant compared to slaughters of more recent times, say 20th century, maybe attributing to Mao or Pol Pot or a Stalin or Hitler. But the fact is, that's a two wrongs making a right argument. The any slaughters of human beings, genocides, are wrong. And we can't excuse this one on the ground that there have been others that have been committed that were on an even larger scale. Yes, if they get just a 2.3 million Palestinians in Gaza, Reese could argue, well, that's trivial compared to tens of millions who've been slaughtered elsewhere. But look at the absurdity of the situation from a moral point of view. I'm sorry to say, I think Reese has completely missed his target.
Russ, your thoughts?
Well,
at one point,
that's the pro-Israeli point of view, and it probably is. He's probably describing it pretty accurately. I'm not impressed.
Zach, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I don't necessarily prescribe to the idea that the Old Testament God specifically is a blood. I think it's more so just the people that worship this God. And I guess I would just bridge, you know, we claim the term atheistic communism. We just really have to look at who created communism. And I think that it gives you quite a large link.
Communism is another offset of a Jewish religion, a death cult for sure. All right. We've got another two more callers, 979, which is East Texas. Welcome. What's your name and what's on your mind?
This is Charles Walker, and I just had one point on that circumcision. I think a big thing is that it promotes, makes like pornography and sexism or sex, it makes you always think about it because you can never close your eyes. It's like an eyelid, and it's like if you could never close your eyes, you always... He always bothers me.
The foreskin is an eyelid.
That's an interesting concept.
It's true. It's true. It bothers me all the time. That's my excuse.
That's your excuse.
And it's not just when you're having sex. It's when you're in taking a leak, right?
all day long, you can't close your eyes. It's all you think about.
Toilet.
Promiscuity
is what I was trying to say.
There you go. Just, could be real. I mean,
destruction of the family.
To address what was said, even today, we find that women who get cervical cancer are at a far greater rate of cervical cancer when they have sex with an uncircumcised male, even in the modern age with good hygiene. So again, you know, people could scoff at it, and I could hear this, you know, laughing over it. But the truth is, science says that circumcision actually is a good process. And I want to say this. I know some of the most liberals that would say that they are, like Jim Fetzer, that they're agnostic. Gary Null is one of them in New York City. He's highly respected. He's ran a clinic where he's actually cured people with full-blown AIDS for free. And they're now HIV negative. Now, what I found with Gary Null is the same that I find with all of these self-proclaimed agnostics. They say they don't believe in a God, but the truth is they do. They are their own God. Because they don't believe in a divine creator, they and their ego becomes their God. And I've seen it with Gary Null on many occasions with his imperial arrogance that he shows towards people. And the other thing is this, atheists do have a God. They don't have the God of design, the intelligent God that I believe in. They believe in the God of chance because the probability of even an amino acid forming into a molecule is so minuscule. If you read the probability, it's a 10 to the 50th power. It never could happen. That they believe in a God of random chance. Rather than believing in an intelligent creator, Giuseppe, if I said to you, there's a broken glass lying on the floor. What was formerly a beautiful crystal glass, now it's broken into little pieces. If I showed you another crystal glass, I would say that crystal glass was made by someone with intelligent design and purpose. But an atheist says, no, those little tiny pieces of glass on the floor through millions of years somehow were whipped around in a whirlwind and became this beautiful crystal vase, which is nonsense. And it's believing in a God who is a mindless God, a purposeless God. I believe in a universe where everything I see was designed with purpose, even on the molecular schedule. I was listening to a biologist with a PhD earlier today, and he said he's now become convinced beyond any doubt in a creator, because he said it's impossible to see these networks, as elaborate as they are, which have purpose driven in them, that they could be possibly millions of years with no purpose and no design. And as I say, the probability of even an amino acid forming could never happen. And this is admitted by some of the top atheists of the 20th century.
Compelling points, but we've got other callers to get to. And the funny thing about
meanwhile, I'm going to remind the audience that there's a genocide going on. I hate to spoil your fun. Today's Sunday. You still have a chance to go to church. Pray for the Gazans.
Great point, Russ. I'd like to interject.
Put your energy in the right place.
That's a great point. I have to agree. And I have to also say that citing one study of science, I've been in natural medicine as a doctor of natural medicine for nearly two decades now, and I could cite 100 studies that say it's much healthier to be uncircumcised. So, you can cherry pick certain studies, but I couldn't disagree more. Our next caller is area code 260, Indiana. Welcome. What's your name and what would you like to discuss?
How you doing, G-Man? This is White Noise from over on Odyssey.
Hey, White Noise, how are you?
Good, man. Good, thank you. Just want to say hi to the panel there. I think people just need to stop looking for someone to guide them in the right direction and take responsibility for themselves, figure out what's right for them and the people that are close to them, and it'll line up with other whites around them. They don't need someone to come in and save the day. I've heard a lot of arguments over the internet of people just arguing over just nonsense, right? They have no proof to back up these claims that they're made. They just flip and they change their whole perspective on everything. It's insane to me.
That's the atheist God there.
I'm curious to know who the atheist God is. That was insane when that guy called in and said that.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
The atheist God is the self.
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
The atheist God is the self. I am God. That means.
Okay. Yeah, I'd never heard that before.
You pick a fight, but it doesn't have to be what it means. It's what he meant. Yes, Russ, you meant that's what Reed meant when he said that.
Well,
but
I think other people mean that. I mean, I would put
myself out there, and evolution is something very poorly understood about.
Of course, it has nothing.
Reed is introducing a straw man here to make
the point is, I've got energy. I kind of write about it. It's called nihilism, and there's a bunch of bad actors out there that puts themselves in place of God. That doesn't mean everybody's atheist or agnostic is a nihilist. There's a big difference.
One more thing before I take up too much of you guys' time. I'd like to hear less of like dancing around every single thing that we say that we have to make sure that everybody understands. And who gives a shit? Say what you want, mean what you say. Let them figure it out. And with that, gentlemen, have a good day.
Great call, White Noise. We got one more caller, the man, the myth, the legend, the legendary Paul from California, now in Northern Nevada. Welcome, Paul. What's on your mind?
Well, I just decided to weigh in here because of what Reese was saying about circumcision. Now, Giuseppe, you took a run at it, and that was good what you said about cherry picking medical studies. But the cogs and the wheels in my brain started to turn as I heard this blather that I occasionally hear interesting things, and a lot of times I hear this blather about, okay, so cervical cancer increases because of circumcision. I'm thinking to myself, okay, how would they design such a study, right? How would they go about getting the data? How would they prove that? How would they separate groups of women and men? It's just like, it makes zero sense to me. I think it's completely made up. The last thing I'll weigh in on is this whole idea that we've been talking about recently of the slaughter and genocide and all these terrible things. It's an unfortunate thing in the human condition that all over the earth, throughout time, one group of people has sought to and has often succeeded in imposing its will on another. This is sort of the way of the world. And the problem that we have today is these people, these Jews that we keep talking about, they obviously have the will to power. And, of course, they're doing it through money. And we need to get in our minds that we need to have the will to power to overcome what it is they're doing. And I know both Giuseppe and Jim, I recently sent you a link to a movie called The Great Taking, and I urge you to watch it. It is literally so revealing and so mind-blowing. These people have been changing the laws here about banking, about essentially money. And just when you watch this and you see what this guy lays out, you'll see clearly what they're trying to do and what they've been doing. So I urge you to watch this, about an hour. It's called The Great Taking. So thanks for taking my call. It was a great show. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Paul, and you as well. And I will watch that Sunday once I'm done with Jim's presentation. So we got about 2 minutes left. So let's go around everybody with a final statement, and we'll reverse the order. Zach first, then Russ, then Jim can finish and promote one more time the excellent False Flags. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, I just want to one last comment on what Paul was just saying in regards to that study. The study actually doesn't, I'd have to see it, but it doesn't make any logical sense that your birthed non-circumcised penis.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution.